Let's give that to the Lord Jesus right now. Can we do that? He is worthy of all of our praise. There is something so powerful that's in this camp meeting. And tonight, as that great choir begin to sing about worshiping God, there's a great spirit of worship that's in this place right now. And I'm planning on preaching in just a moment. But before we do, and before I say anything tonight, and I usually don't open a camp meeting this way, usually open giving honor to whom honor is due, but tonight that worship was to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't think it's about the Mangans or who's here. I think it's only about Him tonight. And tonight, could we just raise our hands? And in your own way, could you worship Him? Our mighty God, our King, our Lord. Help me to move out of the way and give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. Touch this camp meeting tonight. You do what only you can do. For we have brought this God as far as what man can do. Now you have to do what man can't do. Let your Holy Ghost invade this place. Let there be an invasion of your spirit and your power and your anointing upon here. Let it invade the airways, those watching on Facebook, those watching in front of their computer right now. Let there be a revival right now across state lines, in homes and automobiles. Feel the power, the anointing of God. You spent money to get here and you spent time to get here. You just didn't leave, go driving tonight and say, well, let's just drive by the Fort Worth Convention Center. You're here on purpose. We came here for a reason. And that was to have an individual encounter with the Almighty God. And I've been to some camp meetings in my life, and I've preached quite a few camps in our 68 years of living, but there's been no greater crowd, there's been no greater hospitality, there's been no greater music than you have here in North Texas. You're very blessed by that. Give honor to Brother and Sister Flowers. Give honor to them, Brother and Sister Holly, and this great district board. And I give honor to Brother and Sister Tisdale. They're in revival with us right now. And I thank God for him and the word. And the word Brother Hargrove brought today always have a word. I'm a little sentimental tonight because this would have been my district if I would have stayed in Plano. But I remember driving into that place as a 26-year-old kid and watched God begin to fill it up. And we knocked out walls and built a building. And one of your district board members, Brother Wayne Weatherett, I baptized him in the name of Jesus in Plano. And the McManuses are here. And Scott walked in with his boy and his baby bag, and God began to do a work in Greenville. And all you great men of God that's connected with this district, I'm just a little emotional tonight and overwhelmed because my first calling to pastor was in this metro area. And I believe that God is getting ready to give this district and the metro area of Dallas-Fort Worth the greatest revival that the church has ever seen. And tomorrow night, I am set for the Holy Ghost Crusade. But God has spoken to me a word past the Holy Ghost Crusade. And when I walked through the foyer going to the hospitality room, I saw so many young people. And this district is full of so many young people. That tomorrow night, and to you pastors, if you have mass email, however you connect through the digital social world to your congregation. Tomorrow night, if you could get all of your young people and your young couples here, not only those that need the Holy Ghost, but I feel like that there's going to be an impartation of the Spirit of God that's going to hit this camp meeting tomorrow night, and God is going to change lives. We haven't seen. So I'm so honored to be here. Very glad to have my wife with me, Mickey, and she'll be singing tomorrow night. And I want you to know my mother is on her knees. They just sent, somebody took a picture of her in front of a computer, and she's on her knees watching me, praying for me. So I got to do good because of Jesus, and I got to do good because of Mama. Thank God for POA and all those great people. Isaiah 1:3, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know and my people doth not consider. I'm going to take the theme and it will be my subject of this camp meeting. This is our day and it is our time. Would you put your Bibles down and with a clap and with a shout, would you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. God bless you. You may be seated. This is our day and this is our time. We're living in a very critical hour. We're now just 2 weeks before July the 4th, and are celebrating our nation's birthday. And it seems like maybe instead of a birthday party atmosphere, there is a serious mood across our nation. People are disillusioned about their lives, the future of our country. I don't know that America's ever been more divided than she is right now. America seems to be in trouble, and any person with common sense can see that America is not moving in the right direction. For the media elite and much of the population continually mock the God of the Bible, and they are diminishing the value of marriage and of the family, and what God calls sin, ESPY Awards now calls courageous. And we have no concern for the sanctity of the human life. So as I see it, there is a sovereign handwriting on the wall of this great nation. And the interpretation that Daniel gave to Belshazzar in chapter 5 in his writing is the same today. Many, many tickle you, Farson, for God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, and thou art weighed in the balance and found wanted. I would like to tell you, and I know I will get an amen, but I would like to serve notice to America that man does not judge the laws of God, but the laws of God judge man. I'm not going to take the time to read everything that I was going to read tonight, but in Metro DC, there's an area pastor. His name is Garrett Keel, who said, before we take a stand, we must begin on our knees. Even as we march, we must walk in a spirit of prayer, crying out for God to move and to intervene. For because unless he shows up, nothing is going to happen. Nothing with lasting change will happen unless God shows up. And in his famous letter from the Birmingham jail, Dr. Martin Luther King penned a letter to the religious leaders, and this is what it said, and I quote, if the church of today does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church of waiting on God in prayer, then it will lose its authentic ring. It will forfeit the loyalty of millions and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club. He said the church has gone from being the salt of the earth to being the flavorless, ready to be thrown out, trampled underfoot as something worthless, something that Jesus boldly admonished his disciples not to do in the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight, I will quote, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 43 children in America are growing in a fatherless household. Marriage, the institution that provides the stable bedrock for our society, is under attack with one quick swipe of the U.S. Supreme Court's pen. Although headquarters more than 10,000 miles away are the militant Islamics threatening America's national security on a consistent basis, whether it's ISIS in Iraq and Syria, where it's Boko Haram in Nigeria, where it's Hamas in Gaza, or whether it's Hezbollah in Lebanon or Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Each has declared a jihad on the United States of America. And as these terrorist groups kidnap and rape and torture and kill Christians and other religious minorities, we're looking at leadership. I am not speaking elected leadership. I am talking about religious leadership. Evangelicals, 40% of the U.S. evangelical leaders, and I can't believe this, have changed their position on the nation of Israel and Palestine over the past several decades, while terror in the name of Allah runs rampant abroad. Here at home in America, we pulled God out of our equation. And for the first time in our nation's rich history, we have collectively rejecting the role of the Judeo-Christian principles in the public square. And as a result, America's brightest freedom is fading fast. I read the predictions of CNN. It's from the Pew Research. It was reported by the CNN website, pewforum.org. It says that the atheist and agnostic and the religious unaffiliated people will increase in the United States from 16% to 26%, but they will decline as a share of total population. Also in the United States of America, Christianity will drop from 78% to 66% of population, and Muslims will surpass the Jews as the largest non-Christian religion in the U.S. More than 10% of Europeans will be Muslims, while the number of Christians in Europe will drop 100 million. In the coming decades, 106 million people are projected to leave Christianity. 46 million will be converted, so that gives a net loss of 60 million Christians in the next 25 to 30 years. The number of countries with Christian majorities will drop to 151, as Christians are projected to decrease in Australia, France, the Netherlands, New Zealand, the Republic of Macedonia, and the United Kingdom. Muslims are expected to make up more than 50% of the population in the 51 countries, including Macedonia and Nigeria. And in the United States, Christians will decline from more than 0.75% of the population of 2010 to 2/3 by 2050. And Judaism will no longer be the largest non-Christian religion. And we are now seeing the number of people as the cult and satanic forces are now moving in on our colleges and moving in on our cities. I will read a quote from Billy Graham's son. His name is Franklin Graham. He said, at 66 years of age, I've lived long enough to learn that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans can turn this country around. No political party or politician is the answer. The only hope for this country is Almighty God. So tonight, I will take his quote and I will change the last sentence, and I will say the only hope for this country is a sovereign move of Almighty God. And with religions declining and with Christianity declining, I'm glad to know that the apostolic church is having the greatest revival that the apostolic church has ever seen. This is the day, and this is our time. This is no time for us to be backing up. It's not time to be in reverse. God is ready to take his bride and show off the people that's called by his name. He's getting ready to put the church on parade. I feel a moving of God's spirit, and God only operates by prayer. When Ezekiel in 22, he said, and I sought for a man among them, verse 30, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord. I wish I had time to preach there tonight, but I'm not going to preach from that particular point. But I believe I have come here commissioned by God and his word to preach the gospel. I have come here tonight to put a trumpet to my lips to the North Texas district. I have come here to warn you great people. I have come here to stand in the gap. I have come here to give you every bit of preaching that I can give you in the next two nights, and let you know that this church that is called by his name doesn't have to yield to anything, that God has equipped his church for this hour. There is no way to tell you how I love this book. This is a book that's made up of 66 books. There's no way to tell you how I love the word. I believe it with all of my heart. I give my head and my study to it. But there never has been more preaching of the truth than there is today. The Bible is in greater circulation than ever before. There is great orthodoxy. The evangelical voice is raised successfully this week here at this Fort Worth Convention Center. Brother Tisdale, one of the better preachers you'll ever want to hear. Brother Hargrove this morning. And then what I will try to do tonight and tomorrow night will be proclaim truth. There's nothing like the truth. But the truth of the matter is this: truth alone is not enough. We've got to have the truth, but the Spirit must go with us. This God-breathed book that in 2 Peter 1:21, he said that holy men of old wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Anything that Holy Ghost wrote, it takes Holy Ghost people to interpret it. And in the beginning was the word. The need of this dreadful hour, the power from on high, is the sovereign move of the Holy Ghost in our midst. This power as a distinct, definitive gift from God, the Bible, the incarnation. I can't explain it nearly like I would like to explain it. This is the most powerful thing there is. But just learning this alone is not what God is looking for out of his church. He is looking for a church that is baptized with his power and baptized with his spirit and baptized with the supernatural. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be endued with not truth, not faith, but ye shall be endued with power. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And it came after a 10-day prayer meeting. And in another incident, the Bible said, which all of your adversaries will not be able to gainsay nor resist. The Holy Ghost is the thing that's holding back the Antichrist from taking over. And when it hit that upper room, they poured out of that upper room. They filled Caesar's household. They reached into that perverted, warped, twisted, corrupt, animalistic society. They moved into that Roman Empire from center to circumference. They lit a light of glorious apostolic Jesus name message in every corner of that vast domain. And what I have come here on this first night of this camp meeting of North Texas, and I'm shouting, we need an upper room experience. We need a sound from heaven of cloven tongues like as a fire. They said last year you had over 100 and something get the Holy Ghost on Friday night. Well, let me tell you, tonight we need, he told me there's around 22 or 2300 here tonight. We need 2300 to get the Holy Ghost tonight. This society, I'm away from my notes now, but I'm just gonna feel preaching what I feel in the Holy Ghost. This society and this millennial group, they're dropping out of religion and they're dropping churches by the droves. And the only thing they're looking for is experience with Jesus Christ. And woe be unto we as apostolics if we get to this day and time and become a dead, dry church that goes through our formalism and we don't have an operation of the power and a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We need a Mount Transfiguration experience that would even change our countenance to meet this world head on. We need a Mount Carmel experience where Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer. The fire fell, the rain fell, and men fell. You've got the power to pray a prayer to get the rain to fall, to get the fire to fall, and to get the men to fall. And what we need tonight is a culture turnover in our church. I refuse to let the generation. It's what I can't get on that. In fact, I'm preaching twin brothers. So if you don't like tonight, don't come back tomorrow night. But what I'm intended to do, I am now 68 years old in just a few months. What I intend to do is to put something, I'll preach this tomorrow night, in the next generation that they're great Bible quizzers and that they know the Word of God. And I'm gonna put something in fathers. I wanna put something in fathers that they understand what Philemon understood, the church which is in your home. I'm gonna make sure that the fathers understand you must pass this on to your children. But there's something else you must pass on to your children. You must pass on a demonstration and an operation of the power of the Holy Ghost. I have the privilege. You have given me that great honor. You great men of God, district superintendent and board. I had the honor of preaching your first one, was supposed to, but I was already booked last year. I would have loved to have done that. That would have been a great honor, but I'm glad to be here this year. But in my travels around the country, I've been in hundreds of local churches and our ministers and our saints of God, and I see them here in places I go, and preachers and leaders, and I talk to preachers around tables, and I talk to the preachers and the leaders and Sunday school teachers and your administrators and your publishers and our missionaries. And everybody right now, there's a hunger and there is a thirst and there is a longing in their lives to witness what is in this book by every chapter. And I know that I have preached it. I know that Brother Cunningham preached it last year, and I know that Brother Bernard preached it at General Conference, that we are seeing as many and more get the Holy Ghost than they did the book of Acts. I understand that. But we also must understand that we've got far more people, and we are the last day church. And he said in the last days, what you saw in the former rain, it's nothing to compare to what's going to happen in the latter rain. He said this last day revival is going to be far greater than the book of Acts. And it's not just supposed to happen in the North Texas or the Texas or the South Texas or Louisiana or Mississippi or Alabama. God is ready to hit this world with the greatest apostolic revival that the church has ever seen. Truth is not enough. Somebody shout, truth is not enough. Sometimes that's all we shout about. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection. Thank God for a holy and godly lifestyle. But truth is not enough. We got to have a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Catherine Booth, the wife of General William Booth of the Salvation Army. And her, boy, y'all preaching me to death. I don't know why I chose to preach this here. It don't look like nothing dead up here. I've been preaching around the country and there's a bunch of dead churches hanging around. I don't look like there's too many things dead around here. Said Luke. Well, go ahead, brother. I tell you what, turn and lay hands on somebody. I was going to do this tomorrow night. Turn and lay hands on somebody right now. We'll do this and pray for them right now. The Holy Ghost in this place. I said, just minister right now. Wow. Yeah, shake a hand. That's good. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. That's what's supposed to happen tomorrow night. Hold on, just y'all sit down. You may be seated. It's not by might, nor by man's power what man can do, but it's by the Spirit of Almighty God. It's by God's Spirit that this church and this camp meeting and every city in this district that will spread to every state around the nation. We need a mighty shaking like happened in Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Everybody saying, when they had prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they were all filled. God, fill all of us tonight with a new baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Fill all of us with fresh fire and fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. We need something more than theology. We need something more than just truth. I need something more than history and ceremony and orthodox. It involves doing all the right things. But I can do all the right things. I can do everything I'm told. I can fulfill all my obligations inwardly and outwardly that I'm expected to fulfill to be a part of the local assembly. I can make contact with the external religion. I can sing and clap my hands. I can stand, raise my hands and worship. I can go through the motions. And if I'm not careful, I'll become Pentecostal catechism. It'll be something that we've learned to do. When the bass hits the right note and the drummer gets the right beat, we know to start breaking it down. And it can become Pentecostal catechism. And tonight, I'm not talking about dancing and shouting. I'm not talking about clapping and hollering. I'm talking about the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost invading our lives. I won't talk about your church. I'll talk about POA. I know a lot of people that say, but they're where Paul was till he made up his mind. Paul had a conversion on the road to Damascus and it changed his life. But even after he was saved, he said, oh, that Christ would be formed in me. There's a lot of people in here that's obeyed the new birth. But we need to pray tonight, God, be formed in me tonight. Form the power in me and the power. It's not about me just going to heaven. I want you to be formed in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's possible to live in the house of God, which is Bethel, and never know the God of the house, which is El Bethel. I can be religious but be lost. I can be in the church but not converted. I need something more than just knowing the truth. It all becomes born and calloused and disinteresting and disconnected unless I have a supernatural invasion of the power of the Holy Ghost. Pastors, I'm trying to help all of us. Brother Hargrove, I'm trying to help you. I know, Brother Tom, all you men, that's pastors' people. I know at POA what we're facing. I know some of the godliest people that serve God so long is under some of the biggest attacks. The devil is throwing every bomb, every nuclear warhead he has at the church of the living God. He's fighting people and he's fighting our people like never before. And you're not gonna withstand it by just following what your pastor says, or just by coming to church, or just by paying your tithes. You're gonna withstand it by getting this book in your heart and by getting full of the power of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. The day of just living from Wednesday night to Sunday morning to Sunday night. If that's the only living you're doing, you're not living for God. Because let me tell you, you can't live from Sunday morning. What is this? This is Thursday night. You can't live off of Sunday morning's blessing. Maybe in the older days you can make it from service to service. But in this day and hour, you can't make it to the next service. God came to the children of Israel and he said, let me tell you something. I want to talk to you. Let me tell you something. I want to speak to you. And those children of Israel looked back at God and they said, no, we have Moses. You let Moses speak to us. We want to hear from you. But God, if you've got anything to say to us, you say it through Moses. Don't anybody misunderstand me. You can't be saved without a pastor. You've got to have a preacher, and you can't be saved without a preacher. But I'm gonna say something else. If the only time you hear from God is when he opens his mouth, you're not in a right relationship with God. God has come to this camp meeting tonight. He's saying, I want you more than on Wednesday night. I want you more than on Sunday morning. I want you more than on Sunday night. I want to move in your life on a daily basis. Let me speak to you. You may be seated. I'm on a journey. I'll soon be 68 years old, and our life changed drastically a couple of years ago. Nick and I at the POA realized that God was ready to take me to another level. And I thought maybe it was time that I was backing off a little bit, but I realized God was getting ready to put the accelerator down in my life. And so I became like Jacob. I sort of was not really fleeing from anything or anybody, but when he was running from his brother and he went to that place and he got down there with God and he began to have that encounter with God, and he took stones of that certain place where he had stopped for the night and he used them for his pillow, and there he laid his head to sleep, and he had that powerful dream and he saw that ladder which reached up into heaven from time to eternity, from body to soul, from terrestrial to celestial, and angels were ascending and descending, and the Lord stood above it and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and Father and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it and to thy seed. And Jacob awake out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. This is a dreadful place. And he named the place Bethel. Notice something else he did. He promised God a vow, and a vow to God, that if God would keep him and bless him, he would give him a tenth, which was a tithe of all that God gave him. Notice Jacob experienced all of that, and that's powerful. But 20 years later, God tells Jacob, it's time to return to Bethel. I tried to recall things in my life in the last couple of years where I had experiences that changed my life. I will never forget the night I got the Holy Ghost with Brother O.W. Williams was preaching when I was 7 years old. I'll never forget at 10 years of age, at the end of a junior bed when Mother and Daddy would preach in the Ohio camp meeting. I had a dream and I woke up, and at 10 years of age, I went to a platform rocker at the foot of my bed, and there I had an encounter with God. I saw thousands of people and I was preaching to them. And it was at that moment that God called me to preach. So there have been areas of time. I'll never forget when God called me to Plano. It was distinct as it could be. And I told Brother Adcock that I was going to have to get 100% of the vote. And I sort of felt like that I knew one or two families that were probably for somebody else. But when he called me that night, it was 100% vote. And I knew that I was called to Plano. And I knew that encounter when God took me back to Alexandria. I can almost mark the spot where God laid on me and some other men's heart to begin, because of the times. There have been some encounters in my life that has been very distinct to where I knew that God was calling me to another level. And at my age and at my time in life, I feel like God is even calling me to another level. And I feel like Jacob, that I am going back to that place of Bethel, and now it's going to become El Bethel. And I've been asking God in the last few days. I've never been used in some of the gifts that I've never given tongues and interpretation. I have never given a prophecy. I believe I prophesy when I preach sometimes, but I have never just stopped a service and given a thus saith the Lord. But I am so hungry in this last days for what I have been preaching to you about. I've been asking God, God, let the gifts operate in my life. Those that in all these years of my ministries, those, God, in all that time that's never operate, let it begin, God, to operate in my life. I want to be like Jacob. I want to get a hold of you, God, and I want to wrestle with you. It may knock my hip out of joint. When I walk before this place tomorrow night, even tomorrow night, as anointed as I feel tonight, Brother Flowers, I hope between now and tomorrow night, God knocks that hip a little more out of joint. I hope that I've got a different walk even tomorrow night. I hope there's a limp in my walk. My daddy always said something. He said, don't trust any man that doesn't walk with a limp, because he hadn't had an encounter with God. I want them to see my spiritual limp. I want, when I walk to that pulpit, to that church at POA, to know that I've been with God. I don't have time to preach a made-over sermon. I don't have time to preach yesterday's word. I've got to have a contemporary word for a contemporary generation. I've got to have it. He wants to do some changing for some pastors, for you men getting ordained tonight. He wants to do some changing in your life. He wants to change your name from Jacob, which means heel grabber. And he wants it to change it to the nation of Israel, which means you are a prince with God. I have been asking God, God, I want to walk into an area. I want to walk into a dominion that when I walk in room where there are unbelievers, not for my sake, but for this untoward generation, that I preach about for the first 30 minutes of this sermon. I want to be able to walk into rooms and people say, what's inside of that man? What is he full of? What's he got inside of him? I want to be able to walk into a camp meeting. When I walk to a pulpit, I know a lot of you have heard me preach a number of times, but before I came here, my wife can tell you, I prayed most of the way over here. I prayed in our room this afternoon, and I promise you, because I know what I'm preaching tomorrow night, before I walk to this pulpit tomorrow night, I would have had an encounter with God, because tomorrow night, he's gonna impart something to this camp meeting. There's gonna be a power that's gonna be imparted to this camp meeting that's gonna be life-changing. We all need an encounter with God and to be that apostolic church. It's not just gonna be our great singing, that worship team tonight, that choir tonight, the way you lead service. You've got some of the greatest churches in this district. You've got a wonderful district superintendent and district board. This district is so blessed. I am so blessed at POA to pastor such great people and to be in such a great district and have a great man like Brother Cox. I am so blessed. I am blessed to be in a great organization that's allowed me to preach all over your conferences and conventions. And I thank you for it so much. But I come before you open-hearted tonight, so hungry for a new, fresh touch of the Holy Ghost and for a fruit touch of the Holy Ghost in power. I am hungry for something from God that I've never had before. I want something from God that I've never encountered before. I'm not the most intelligent. I'm not a great orator. I'm okay at communicating. I'm not a great writer. I don't care about all those things, but all I know is I'm hungry for God. And I looked at Isaiah, and when Isaiah, on those first five chapters, he put six curses. He said, woe be unto you, woe be unto you, woe be unto you. In those first chapters, he was a preacher of woe and curse until Uzziah died. And when you get to chapter six, then you see Isaiah said, I looked up and I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And there were angels, and they had six wings, and with twain they did cover their feet, and with twain they did cover their face, and with twain they did fly, and they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the man, and the man that had preached at General Conference, and the man that had preached camp meetings, and the man that had preached leadership meetings, and the man that had been used in an organization, and a man that had been used around the world, and could curses down, and it preached five chapters and could lay the law down to everybody else. When he got to chapter six, he said, Lord, you get that coal off of that altar and you come touch my lips, and woe be unto me. I want a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I wonder what would happen in this building tonight if everybody would go after a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost and a fresh touch of Holy Ghost and fire in this place. I wonder what would happen in this place. Got to thinking about Paul today. Oh God, you can never put on a line with Paul. But I got to thinking about Paul today. Paul starts off talking about himself. He said, Paul, an apostle of God. And the next time he talks about himself, he said, Paul, a saint. And the last time Paul talks about himself, he said, Paul, the chief of sinners. He went from apostle to a saint to the chief of sinners. I wonder tonight what would happen if we could forget I've been saved 50 years, or I've been saved this long, or I've preached the gospel this long. I wonder what would happen if tonight we would all say, I want a fresh encounter with the Spirit of God. I want a fresh encounter with the Holy Ghost in fire. I heard my father preach, and I'm getting ready to close, but I heard my father preach at a Deeper Life conference in Jackson, Mississippi in 1972. He preached the message, horses but no riders. And Dad said this, and I wouldn't rebuke a preacher, particularly in front of laity at a camp meeting, but let me tell you what Dad preached. He preached something, and he said this. He said, if a preacher preaches something and doesn't practice it, it's sacrilege. So Isaiah was saying, whoa, God, don't let me preach something that I don't practice. If I'm gonna preach prayer, let me be a man of prayer. If I'm gonna preach living holy, let me be a holy, godly man. Burn, it burned. And Isaiah said, woe be unto me. The young people need that to happen to them today. The older people need that to happen to them today. I was reading, and I preached last night at POA. When I was preaching to our church last night, I was preaching out of Exodus chapter 2. And its Bible says, there rose a generation who knew not Joseph. And there was a king. You know, when Israel was in Egypt, Egypt looked pretty good to them when Joseph was ruling, because Joseph was their friend. But when that generation arose that didn't know Joseph, there was an evil king that was placed over them. And they were become taskmasters. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, that it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry, notice this, came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. When I was in prayer, I added this. In fact, you didn't see it on the screen because I got it this so late I didn't even give it to the men that operate the things that go on the screen, because I wanted to give this to this congregation tonight. He said, when they begin to cry out to God, when they begin to seek God, God remembered his covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I believe that there could be such a cry go up to God in this place tonight that God would say, I remember the covenant that I made. Paul said, I stripped off everything. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. No matter how regularly he went to church, he was still a murderer and a blasphemer. He was the chiefest of sinners until he had that transforming power. You can have that same kingdom-minded transforming power. That sweet John, the beloved, who leaned on the breast of Jesus Christ, knew that he was the Almighty God on that isle called Patmos. He saw the glory of the Lord walking in the midst of the seven golden candlestick, and he heard the voice. He felt his right hand laid on his hand, and then he gave him the Apocalypse, which is the book of Revelation, and he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible said Abraham saw the Lord in a dream. The Bible said Jacob saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven. Moses heard the voice of God. Then the Bible said, that's something very important because we don't preach that. Moses heard the voice of God, and the first thing we preach is that God said, take off your shoes. And that's not what God said. He said, turn aside. The first thing Moses did was turn aside, and he went to be with God. Then he looked up and he saw a burning bush. Every time you turn aside to get alone with God, God's going to give you a burning bush experience. Joshua's Joshua stood at Jericho. He saw the captain of the host of the Lord. Samuel, as a small lad, met the Lord in the temple and he heard his voice. Solomon had a vision in his early reign and God gave him wisdom and riches and honors. You can turn the tide today. And the thing that's gonna do it, when you were shouting so loud that I didn't even know if I was gonna get to this part of my message, I preached all of that to get where I am right now. For us to have the supernatural, you don't get this with just singing. You don't get this with just choir practices. You don't get this with good worship team leaders. You don't get this with just good preaching. You get this when people get shut alone with God. You get this when you have an encounter with God Almighty. We're living in a day, and God, I don't want to kill this service, but I know what you pastors are living with, because I stand here as a pastor, and we living where at POA, at least as a pastor, I'm living with a lot of those people with the poem that I read. Sir, what would you like of God? Well, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my peace. I didn't want enough of him to make me get up with the things I enjoy. I don't want enough of him to make me love the people I don't want to love. I don't want enough of him that I want happiness and not transformation. I want easy believism and not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal and not a paper sack. I would like to be worth $3 worth of God. And in this day and time, we're not gonna make it on $3 worth of God. The thing that has brought this church to where it is has been the sacrifice. It's been the sacrifice of prayer. It's been the sacrifice of prayer. It's been the sacrifice of praise. It's been the sacrifice of giving. It's been the sacrifice of holy living. And we can't get here and think that we can still have that same kind of power with no sacrifice. We've got to be able to lay everything on the altar, to get everything that God wants to give to us. We got to lay it on the altar. I made my mind up. I'm going somewhere in God. I would like for all of you pastors to go with me. I would like for all of you evangelists to go with me. I would like for all the laity to go with me. POA, a lot of you are watching tonight. Mother, I know you're watching tonight. I know that some of my children are watching tonight. And I would like to ask all of you to go with me. God is ready to put the Jesus name church, which you shout out. Give me just a moment. He's ready to put it on parade. When Christianity is falling off, when everything that I quoted you to is declining, listen to me just a moment. He is ready to take his church and say, this is the day and the hour. I wanted it to get here. I wanted this day to come so that I could get my bride and I could show the world how pretty you are. I've waited. Give me just a moment. I've waited for this day to show this world how beautiful my bride is. I want to show them how you sacrifice. I want to show them how you pray. They are tired of their dead religion and their dead church. They're tired of going to church and not receiving anything. And I have moved like checkers on a board and like chess and the kings and queens on the chessboard. I have moved you into position for the last day revival and the last day that the church has seen. I have moved you in position for you to have the greatest revival that you have ever seen. I want to show you off, but to show you off, you got to show me off. Polycarp. Polycarp, the bishop of the Smyrna church. Mickey, would you come to the organ, please? When he was 86 years old, he was taken before the Roman judge. He was told, just burn a pinch of incense to Caesar, or we're going to burn you at the stake. Polycarp could have said, I'm an old man. I've been persecuted all my life for being a Christian. Now, it won't hurt me just to burn a little incense. Let me burn just a little bit to have some peace, and I won't be burned at the stake. If he would have burned just a little piece of incense, you would have never heard his name. But because he didn't burn and give up and he was burned at the stake, he became a decider instead of an equivocator. And when he became a decider, God took him and used him mightily. Did you ever hear the name Jerome Savonarola? In the Middle East, ages of Florence, Italy, a wicked city under the immoral Catholicism regime, Jerome Savonarola stood up and tried to preach a sermon, and he failed so miserably. And so for 7 years, he shut himself up with nothing but the book of Revelation. And he read it over and over for 7 years that it would do something for him. And he came back after 7 years of preaching in Florence, and he turned that city upside down. And it is still referred to as one of the greatest city revivals in history because he was a decider and not an equivocator. Martin Luther, that young German monk whose father looked at him and said, "If you don't become a lawyer, I'm going to disown you. If you become a preacher, I'll never speak to you again." He had to face over and over again in his ministry, will I be a decider or will I be an equivocator? He belongs to the ages because he was a decider. John Knox, who thundered his message under the stars of St. Andrews so plainly and pungently and so bluntly, they said he preached until the pulpit was broken into pieces. He was arrested by Bloody Mary, Queen of Scotland. He was chained in the galley slave, pulling the oars in the galley of the ship. And yet he looked through a porthole and he said, "I will preach Jesus Christ again at St. Andrews." And he did, because he was a decider and not an equivocator, and he belongs to the ages. In 1904, there was a young man by the name of a young tutored Welsh coal miner by the name of Evan Roberts. At 12 years of age, he started studying the Word of God. At 24 years of age, his pastor said, "You're not a preacher and can't preach." He said, "I just feel like I'm called." He said, "Well, I'm not going to let you preach." He said, "Well, then would you tell them after church that if they would just meet me down in the basement of the church, I'll just preach for about 15 minutes. You don't have to be there. Just see who will come, pastor. Just see if anybody will come hear me preach." And he went down there and 12 people came down there and heard him preach. And he preached with such unction and fire and power of unction of the Holy Ghost that when he got through preaching, those 12 people got up from there and they gave Scotland the greatest revival and Ireland the greatest revival. It spread over into England. You could not find a Bible in London. Every Bible was sold out. It jumped the Atlantic Ocean. It landed on the great continent of sea, of shining sea of America. God bless America. And it hit Atlantic City, New Jersey. And everybody in that city, with the exception of 10 people, became a Christian. It went to Paducah, Kentucky. It fell in a Southern Baptist church, and it fell so hard that they had to have people around the clock baptizing people. It left there and went to Mid-America. It went up to Denver, Colorado, and from 11 until 1, they had prayer meetings. They shut down Denver every day. From 11 to 1, they had prayer meetings in America. It moved to Oregon, and they had it in the Congress. They had it in the State House. They had prayer meetings. It moved from there until finally it arrived at Azusa Street, and it was a power in the unction of the Holy Ghost. It was all started by a young man, a Welsh coal miner, who in a camp meeting maybe, who heard Billy Sunday preach, and he said, "Bend me, oh God, bend me." And when God bent him, he turned around and bent an entire nation. And I feel in this congregation, there are some 2,200 people. We don't need 1,000 tonight. We don't need 100. There may be one Apostle Paul tonight, but that will hit the front of this church and fall on your face tonight and say, "Bend me, oh God. Bend me, oh God. Bend me, oh God." Ladies and gentlemen, If I've ever felt the Holy Ghost, I feel it right now. Listen to me. Don't come up here unless you mean business. But the power of God is getting ready to transform some pastors that are my age, some of you old timers, and some of you young people. God is getting ready to put an anointing on your life tonight like you've never seen. God's going to take us to a place of intercessory prayer right now where this church hadn't been. If you can't get to the front, you're welcome to kneel at your pew. But God is turning this entire place into an altar. And we're going to cry out for God's blessing that He will allow the apostolic church to become the apostolic church, to have the revival God has called us to have. Look at these men and women on their faces before God. You're a decider and not an equivocator. I'm going to make my mind up that I'm going to make a difference in this world. That's it, young men. That's it, church. That's it, elders. Let there be a cry. Come on, elders, lift your voices. I wish the cameras could get a picture of this across here. I wish they could get a picture of this men and women. They could get a picture of the elders and the young people. Lift your voices and travail to God. Be a decider. I'm going to make my life count. Thank you.
you and breathe. Wanna feel your heartbeat. I love to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand.
Please don't move unless you have to right now. The Holy Ghost has captured us right here. Please don't move unless you have to. There are people making major decisions. There are pastors that are making major decisions in their lives.
Your love is real. It's so much more than I can stand. God, I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. I want to feel your heartbeat.
Mickey, would you give me just a moment? Go ahead. There is a travail that's in this place. Many faces are on the ground. And I want all music stop, Mick. I want everything stop. And I want the travails of God's people to go up to his ears right now.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing but travails of God's people. That's it. Deciders, your name will belong to the ages because you're a decider, not an equivocator tonight. You're a decider, not an equivocator tonight. You will belong to the ages because you're making your mind up tonight. You'll sacrifice. You'll give of your time, your effort, your money. You will give. Nothing but travails of God's people. We're making decisions. We're not going to equivocate. This is the time God wants to show his church off. This is the time that God wants to parade his church off. We will not equivocate. We're deciders. More prayer. More fasting. More giving. Sacrifice.
Shekayele la moyoria la la ma shakahele la mayandaya.
You're going to show this church off. People are counting the cost. They're paying the price. They're making their mind up tonight, Lord. As they did in Egypt, we cry out. Remember your covenant to the people that's called by your name. Remember your covenant people, oh God. Remember your covenant people, oh God. Remember your covenant people. Remember your covenant people. Remember your covenant people. The Lord is speaking among us. You're walking amidst the seven golden candlestick right now. You're walking in our midst right now. Oh, Holy Ghost, you're moving in our midst right now. You're moving in our midst. 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 Some of us are not comfortable. Some of us are just not comfortable waiting on the Lord right now. This is old time camp meeting right now. This is sawdust floors at Fort Worth Convention Center. This is those old wooden pews we used to sit on right now. This is the old sawdust floors that we were raised on in camp meetings. This is the old camp meeting spirit that's fallen on this congregation. We may be in a new building, but that old covenant that God made with our parents and our grandparents, it's falling in this place tonight. It's falling in this congregation tonight. It's falling. We may not be in tents in Brush Harbors. We may not be on an old campground, but right here in the Fort Worth Convention Center, God is visiting us in the power and the operation of the Holy Ghost.